Welcome to It Came From Amity. This is Darren, your co-host with...
Yawning Noah. Noah's got the midday blues right now.
It's a cold day. It's a good day for a nap.
Yeah.
So today's story is going to be a little bit different.
Darren's going to just tell a story.
So it's a true story. And most military people hear when they're in basic training, and it is based on a man that had one of the warrior ethos based deep down within him. And I will always place the mission first. I will never accept defeat. I will never quit. I will never leave a fallen comrade. This describes Roy Benavidez. And if you've ever heard the story of Roy Benavidez, it is amazing to listen to, no matter how many times you've heard it. Roy was born in Curo, Texas, and he joined the Texas National Guard at 17 during the Korean War. 2 years later, he joined the active duty in an infantry unit and completed rotations in South Korea and Germany before attending the military police training in 1959. After he graduated the MP course, Benavidez was assigned to the 82nd Airborne Division, and he was deployed to Vietnam in 1965. Well, while he was out on patrol, he stepped on a landmine, and he woke up in a hospital, Fort Sam Houston, Texas. They broke news to him. They said, "Roy, you're never going to walk again." Well, Roy was an old school guy, and he didn't accept that. He said, basically, talked them into not discharging him immediately, but giving him some time to see if he could stay in. And at night, Roy would basically fall out of his bed, crawl over to the wall, pick himself up, and reteach himself how to walk. And the doctors didn't know he was doing this. The nurses didn't know he was doing this. He was doing this after they had left the hospital at night, kind of doing what we would call a secret squirrel mission.
It reminds me of Metal Gear Solid, Phantom Pain, when he gets in the hospital and he's trying to walk again. It just reminds me of that a lot.
I'd say a lot of these stories probably take a little bit of Roy's story and add to it to kind of give authenticity to it.
Because it's legend.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. He is a real life legend. And so after Roy spent 18 months, no, I take that back. It doesn't really say how long he was in the hospital, but they were going to discharge him, and Roy stood up out of bed and walked. So instead of sending him home, he talked him into sending him to Fort Bragg, North Carolina, now Fort Liberty. But he did 18 months of physical therapy, and they had sent him to... So he's there in Fort Bragg. That's where, like, the Airborne is based out of. And once again, when he was off work for the day, he would go out and start training. And after he could run 10 miles with a rucksack, he talked his superiors into letting him try out for Special Forces. They're like, "Roy, you've got a broken back, man. Like, that's going to be rugged stuff." So he talked him into it. With his back is now healed, and he completed Special Forces training. He was assigned to the 5th Special Forces Group, and he returned to Vietnam, a place where he had stepped on a mine and broke his back. He went back, and He had done some missions, and one day he's at church, And as he's leaving, church service, he overhears on a radio that some of his special forces comrades are pinned down under the North Vietnam gunfire. And it was a 12-man team that was under attack, three special forces soldiers and nine Vietnamese mountain guards or mountain men. So they're pinned down, 101. Three helicopters had already failed to get them out. And as they're returning to base, Roy is anxious to get out there to help these guys. So he runs up to a helicopter pilot, asks if the helicopter pilot is going back out to try and get these men. And the helicopter pilot was like, man, we've taken heavy fire. His gunner had been taken out by enemy fire. Roy pulls the gunner out, talks the guy to flying back, and the helicopter's unable to land. So Roy's given fire from the gunner, from the helicopter's gun seat. The helicopter pilot cannot quite land. So he just jumps out of the helicopter into the Vietnamese forest, like just crashes through the trees, lands in the middle of enemy combatants, and they're probably scratching their head for a minute trying to figure out where this American came from. And so Roy described it as jumping into 6 hours of hell. So he runs through the enemy combatants. He's running about 75 yards. And he's going to his team, fallen team's position. While he's running, he gets shot in the leg, and a hand grenade explodes right in his face. So he gets shrapnel in his face. He's been shot, and he's picking up weapons from the fallen enemies, and he's shooting back. Finally gets to his people. He gets them stabilized, gives them a shot of morphine, and he picks up an AK-47 from one of the four dead mountain guards, and he's trying to get a helicopter for extraction. So he's firing, he's popping smoke for an extraction. Helicopter comes in. He gets shot in the stomach, loading up the people into the helicopter. The helicopter takes off, and it gets shot down, crashes. Helicopter pilot dies. Roy runs over, pulls people out, and as he's moving the survivors to a defensive position, he took charge of the group. He's firing back again. His people are in bad shape. Like, they've been shot up. They've been exploded on. They were just in a helicopter crash again. So they're knocking on death's door. And Roy doesn't give up. He just, despite being wounded, he keeps fighting, running from position to position. He calls in an airstrike. And the airstrike is just done perfectly. And it gives enough time for the helicopter to come in. And as the helicopter is getting people loaded up, Roy notices a few people that he's missing. He looks over, and there's three guys that are positioned that have been separated from the initial group. So he runs over to them. He gets them situated. And as he's dragging them back, he gets shot through the stomach again. He gets knocked upside the head by an enemy soldier, run through with the bayonet into his stomach, and Roy's able to fight off the soldier, kill him, and he kills a few enemies with that bayonet off of that gun. And the whole time, he's sustained 37 wounds. And by that time, he's got everybody back to the helicopter. He finally allows them to put him on the helicopter. And I think it's good to mention that as he's dragging the last few people over to the helicopter, he's literally holding his guts inside of him. They're falling out. He's holding them in. And so he's in the helicopter. He wakes up to find himself being placed in a body bag. But he can't speak. His jaw has been... His face is full of shrapnel from the grenade exploding in it.
Yeah.
His eyes are bloodied shut. His guts are hanging out. But he feels himself being put in this body bag, and as the doctor's zipping it up, gets to about his chest, the only way Roy can communicate that he's still alive is he spits in the guy's face. And they don't even know where to start on this guy. He's got severe damage to his face. His guts are hanging out. He's got 37 other wounds, and he spends some time in there. He recovered after a year of various hospitalizations. Benavidez recovered and was awarded the Distinguished Service Cross, the DSC. The Army believed that there was no eyewitness account a requirement at the time to award the Medal of Honor. On February 24th, 1981, after finding a living eyewitness, President Ronald Reagan upgraded his DSC to a Medal of Honor. And Benavidez went on to Fort Sam Houston and reached the rank of Master Sergeant. He retired in 1976, and Roy was one of the biggest advocates for the way that the VA and the military treated their wounded warriors. He died on November 29th of 1998 at the age of 63, and I believe he died of
diabetes. All that, and that's what gets him.
All that, and diabetes gets him.
That's crazy.
But he is just a legend, and, you know, being a vet myself, he's a story that we hear that Army, that those Army, I'm having a brain fog today, but those Army values that they're called now, the acronym is leadership, but loyalty, duty, honor, selfless service, personal courage, honor, all those things. Roy had all those. To put his life on the line and take 37... wounds
while saving others,
like,
and fighting the enemy
yeah, he was doing it all. He was a one-man fighting team.
He's like Arnold.
Yeah,
he's like a movie version or a real life version of Arnold.
Yeah. I think a lot of the movies that they have out, they take little snippets from that thing, and
like Rambo. He's like Rambo, basically.
Yeah, real life Rambo.
Yeah.
But I wanted to share that story with y'all today because it is a real life legend and just supernatural power.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Very, very nuts. Well, rest in peace, Roy.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
Thanks for
God
the
bless
incredible story. And, you know,
no problem. It is a short one today, but I know you're going to be on vacation. So.
Yeah. It's just a little mini episode, but just to hold you over until I fly back into town. So, yeah. Anything else? You good?
I'm good.
All right. See you guys.